We'll be taking a look at the geology of Wisconsin a little bit and zeroing in on agates to some extent, but we'll take any question relating to the geology of our state with Joanne Klusendorf, who is director of the Wise Earth Science Museum at the UW Fox Valley in Menasha. It's the official state mineralogical museum. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Good. I pronounced it right. mineralogical Museum of Wisconsin. The museum is hosting the Wonderful World of Agates on Thursday, July 10th through Sunday, July 13th. We'll learn about that event, which sounds like a great one. And we'll let you ask some questions, too, not only about agates, but about the geology of the state. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Joanne, welcome back.
Well, it's great to be here, Larry. Thank you.
You know, we've talked many times, but let's talk a little bit about Len and Donna Wise, who and it's the background of your wonderful museum.
Oh, thank you. Len was a geology geography professor at the University of Wisconsin Fox Valley, at University of Wisconsin Green Bay, at Lawrence University, and a few other places. And but he retired an emeritus a professor from UW Fox. And when the dean, Jim Perry, thought it would be a good idea to build a geology museum on campus following the Barlow Planetarium, which he built 5 years before, Len went out looking for donors, and one day he went home to Donna, and Donna suggested that they provide the founding gift to the museum, and they did. And they also very wisely donated the money to endow the chair for the director's position. And so the Wise Earth Science Museum was born, and it's very fittingly named after them.
And it's the only museum in the state, I believe, dedicated to geology of Wisconsin.
That is absolutely correct.
So it's wonderful, and the agates, you've got the Wonderful World of Agates coming up, and I want to talk about that a little bit before we take some calls here. Bill, we'll get to you in just a minute or two here, but what about the Wonderful World of Agates?
Well, the Wonderful World of Agates, I can't even take credit for coming up with the idea. My museum educator and staff member is Gary Richards, and he is a mineral expert par excellence. And one day he was just sort of bemusing about how, you know, we have a lot of agate experts that live in Wisconsin, near northeastern Wisconsin, where the museum is located. And he said, I wonder if we could get an agate show together with their help. And I said, let's go for it. And as soon as we thought of a title, we contacted them and wanted to see what they thought. And these folks very generously have given of their time for the last 2 years. This took 2 years to plan. And they have been working very diligently to get enthusiasm amongst the agate world going. And I can't tell you the number of people that I have met who I found out are very passionate about agates. But agates are absolutely one of the coolest minerals to collect if you're also a novice in geology and want to start a collection, because there's lots of affordable agates from all over the world that actually you can see at the Wonderful World of Agates.
Oh, yeah. It's it really is an international kind of exhibit, isn't it?
It is. We are going to have over 30 dealers, and they've come from across the United States as well as places like Argentina. We will have more than 70 displays of agates from absolutely everywhere you can imagine across the world. And we even have the Smithsonian bringing an exhibit of never before seen agates from a very exotic place, from Indonesia. And so it's going to be a real event, and it's open to the public July 11th through 13th. July 10th is actually reserved for people who registered for a special program of speakers. And speakers, by the way, are also coming from around the world. And but the speakers will be there for the rest of the show too. So if you can't make it to the special day on July 10th, which, by the way, is sold out, you can meet them at the show the rest of those days.
Well, I'm looking here, and it's like $4.
Yeah, it's $4 for adults, and 12 and under is free.
So in a, for a family fun event, there's kids activities and so forth for $4.
Yeah, and the kid, like I say, the kids are free under 12 and under. And we're going to do lots of kids activities. We have an agate dig and we have an agate scavenger hunt, and they can make their own agate critters, you know, the ones with the googly eyes. Mm-hmm. And they can also learn how to hand polish stones, so they, something they can take home and do with rocks from the backyard.
Well, I tell you what, if you have a question about agates or about geology in general, we hope you'll join in as we visit with Joanne Klusendorf of the Wise Earth Science Museum. And Bill's been waiting a while, so let's get Bill online. By the way, the number is 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Give a call. And Bill, hello. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you, and good morning. I definitely plan on coming. I've actually collected minerals and stones from pretty much everywhere I've been around the world just as a hobby. I had two questions I think you can answer and one you may not be able to answer. Is there any naturally occurring gold and or diamonds in Wisconsin are the two? And the third is I was having asked a question I didn't know the answer to, and it's, are there any naturally occurring faults that run under Wisconsin?
Oh, I can answer both those questions. Thank God, Bill. Yes, there are naturally occurring gold and diamonds in Wisconsin. There is actually a gold panner group, an amateur group out of, I think, Sheboygan or Sheboygan Falls, by the way. And that's where most of the gold occurs. It occurs usually in streams and things, so that you pan for it, and it's just little flakes of gold. It's nothing, no big nuggets or anything I've ever been found in Wisconsin, but gold has. And diamonds absolutely have been found in Wisconsin, across particularly the eastern part of the state, and especially in the southeastern part of the state. One of the most famous ones is the Eagle Diamond that was found in Waukesha County near the town of Eagle. It was found back in the mid-1800s and by a farmer, and unfortunately, his wife sold it to a jeweler in Milwaukee for, a pittance, like $1.50.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he told her it was a topaz and wasn't worth very much, and he turned around and sold it to Tiffany's in New York, and it ended up eventually going to one of the really wealthy robber barons from those days, and I can't think which one it was, but it eventually ended up in the American Museum of Natural History. And back in the early 1960s, there was a robbery there. And along with a bunch of other stuff, the Eagle Diamond was stolen. And yeah, and we've never found it, even though they found some of the other loot that the robbers had taken. And the suspicion is that it was actually cut up for smaller diamonds. But yeah, there are more. And actually, these diamonds that we found have really been found mostly in farm fields and stuff, you know, that came down from with the glaciers from northern Wisconsin and Canada. And you know, there is a big diamond mining area in Canada now. And but the interesting thing is diamonds are found in kimberlite pipes, which is the sort of the neck of a deep volcano. And there is one of these volcanic necks actually down in Kenosha County, buried under thick glacial sediments. It's it actually dates back to about the age of the dinosaurs, around the Jurassic period. And apparently De Beers has actually looked at it, but said there was nothing economic there. But you never know, you know, with diamond companies. So yeah, diamonds in Wisconsin. Now, faults. Absolutely, there have been faults in Wisconsin. There has been lots and lots of tectonic activity at different times in the past. Up in northern Wisconsin, particularly northwestern Wisconsin, there are quite a bit of faulting that dates back into the Precambrian, you know, about 1.5 to 2 billion years ago. And actually, some of the famous waterfalls in Wisconsin, like Copper Falls, actually flow over old fault scarps in volcanic rocks. And then there's a famous fault actually down in Waukesha County again. And it used to be quite very visible in one of the quarries down there, where you could actually see the displacement of nice horizontal beds of rocks on either side. And the fault caused them to be offset about 30 feet. So, yep, there's faults, diamonds, and gold. Start
wow.
looking.
Well, I will be definitely at the event. Thank you very
Great.
Much.
All right, thanks, Bill. Thanks for calling. And Ross in Algoma, your turn. Hi, Ross.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great, thanks.
Hi, Ross.
Hi. See, I have a question. I have three friends that I met on a Rockhound excursion from Australia coming to visit in the beginning of August.
Mm-hmm.
And they were real interested in going out and self-collecting a Lake Superior agate.
Yep.
And just wondering if you could perhaps suggest some places to look, whether they're fee mining or not, it doesn't matter. Just some ideas on where to go take them, whether it be in Wisconsin or Upper Michigan.
Okay. Actually, there are books written about Lake Superior agates. You might want to get a hold of one. I know Scott Walter, W-O-L-T-E-R, has written, I think, three different editions about collecting Lake Superior agates, and he's coming out with his next edition at the show. There are also other books out there that talk about collecting localities. You can also collect Lake Superior agates, or you know, in along the beach, obviously, in the UP and in northern Wisconsin, along Lake Superior and in Minnesota. But one of the places a lot of people don't realize you can collect agates is along the Mississippi River in Wisconsin, in western Wisconsin, because interestingly, the agates, which are some of the oldest minerals around in Wisconsin, were dug up by the glaciers, some of the most recent sediments in Wisconsin, and actually found their way along the Mississippi River. So you can find them in the banks of the Mississippi River. Just remember that when you find them naturally, they don't look quite as beautiful and polished and spiffy as they do after they've been through a rock tumbler or on a lap.
Okay. Any specific location on the Mississippi
No,
River,
not
obviously.
Really. Not really. It's kind of a hit or miss kind of thing. You can actually even find them in some gravel pits because, again, they've came down with the glaciers and are in the gravels that that we mine, you know, for aggregate and stuff like that. So they're kind of all over, and it's kind of a hit or miss thing. There are real collecting feed trips, like you said, up in particularly the UP of Michigan, I know. And there are some people in Minnesota, too, are interested. If you have a chance before your friends come to make it up to the wonderful world of agates, that might be a wonderful opportunity for you to learn all these things. Because it's you know, I don't know enough about those to give you to a specific place.
Okay.
But there will be people there who know all that stuff.
Okay. Very much appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Excuse me. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. As we talk with Joanne Klusendorf today, zeroing a little bit on agates, but also talking about geology of the state in general. Well, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking the wonderful world of agates today with Joanne Klusendorf of the Wise Earth Science Museum. Larry Mueller here, really pleased to have you listening in. The wonderful world of agates, it's an extravaganza taking place July 11th through the 13th. So we're talking agates, but we're also talking other things relating to the geology of Wisconsin with her. So whatever your question, give us a call at 800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And before we, you know, we should have asked this right off the bat, but some people may not know, what is a heck is an agate anyway? So explain that for us.
Okay. An agate is made of chalcedony, which is scientifically called cryptocrystalline quartz. And all that means is that the crystals of quartz in chalcedony are too tiny to be seen with the naked eye. And in fact, even under a microscope, you can't really see crystals. It's more massive. And I'm sure most of your listeners have actually seen agates. They're these beautifully colored, banded minerals that are usually lots of red and white and oranges in the bands. They are just gorgeous, and they're found all over the world. We're lucky enough to have some here in Wisconsin, as I was saying, along the Mississippi. You can collect them in gravel pits anywhere in the state, just about, and along the shores of Lake Superior. And they are, interestingly, they're usually kind of rounded because they actually formed in holes left behind in the rocks. And most of the rocks that they're found in are actually old volcanic lavas. And when the lavas were still very hot, they had lots of gas in them, and gas bubbles formed. And eventually, when the lava hardened, those gas bubbles were left behind by holes. And when groundwater went through those rocks, it left behind quartz that lined those holes in concentric bands with different mineral components in them, giving them the different colors. So there's the brief Cook's tour of the geology of agates. They're really stunning. And as I say, not all of them are volcanic, but most of them are. And there's a lot of scientific controversy about exactly how they're formed. So it's kind of an interesting thing, too. They're so common, and yet people aren't real sure of exactly how they originated. It's been it's a kind of gemstone that's absolutely been prized for centuries, maybe even millennia. It's one of the earliest things that we know that humans collected because, of course, you know, you see these banded rocks, you know,
yeah,
banded
beautiful.
Minerals in the in the dirt, you know, they've got to draw your attention. And they were thought in the past to allow you to vanquish your enemies, to acquire riches, to divert storms, to quench thirst, and protect against fever. Hey, I'm going to wear an agate.
Absolutely.
And it was agates were very popular with royalty from ancient times, especially through the Renaissance. Elizabeth I was known to have agates in her collection, both jewelry and in bowls. And in fact, Ida Oberstein, an Aryan Germany, was famous for carving agates and for particularly for making these bowls. And there was sort of an agate arms war back in the Renaissance amongst royalty in Europe to have the biggest collection of agate bowls. And we will have people who have carved agates and objects of art at the wonderful World of Agates.
Again, on July 11th through the 13th. Well, it's a great story. Betsy in River Falls has a question for you. So let's go to Betsy.
Hi.
Hi, Betsy.
Great program.
Oh, thank you.
I go up to Minocqua every year, and I have the book called The Roadside Geology of Wisconsin by Dotton Adding. And I wondered if there were any other reference books I could use for that whole general sort of area to do more exploring.
There aren't any real, like, roadside geology kind of books to geology of Wisconsin. There is a book, though, called, I think, Wisconsin's Foundation. It's by Gwen Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z.
Okay.
And it's a nice book about the basics of Wisconsin geology, and it's a little bit of a road trip kind of thingy, too. And then the other one is by Paul and Paul, P-A-U-L-L.
Mm-hmm.
It's a husband and wife team, Richard and Rachel Paul, and it's out of print, but you can maybe find it in the library.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact title of it, but look up Paul and Paul in Wisconsin Geology, and they actually do have road trips in there, plus the basic geology of Wisconsin ideas, too.
Okay, thank you very, very
sure.
much.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
bye.
Thanks, Betsy, for calling. Let's go to Dave and Dresser next. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
Good day to you. I live over here along the west side of the state, not far from the St. Croix River, which, I don't know, we have a wealth of agates in this area, too. And the joke is that you can't throw a rock without hitting an agate. But I have a question about jade.
Okay.
Is that a type of agate?
No, it's not. It's a silicate rock, but the structure is different. It's a fibrous structure, which would preclude it from being an agate. Agate is chalcedony, which is really just SiO2 with a few complementary minerals and elements in very, very small amounts.
Well, thank you so
sure.
much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And by the way, that event takes place right at the Earth Science Museum, I assume.
Well, actually, we are taking over the entire campus of UW-Fox Valley.
Wow.
This is a big thing. Yeah, the dealers will be in the field house. There will be displays in two different rooms and two different galleries. There will be silent auctions every day, a different auction each day, so you don't have to be you know, present for 3 days. There will be, the museum will be open, and it's just going to be everything. The kids' activities are spread out across the campus, too.
So lots to do across the entire campus.
Yep, yep.
Tom in Duluth, Minnesota. Hello to you.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
How's it going?
Good.
OK, Good. I guess I'm just wondering, when I was pretty young, probably like 6 years old, I was swimming at a family cabin. I don't even recall what lake it was, somewhere in central Minnesota. And I stubbed my toe on a rock, and so basically I went down to find out what hurt me so I could chuck it into the middle of the lake, and it turned out to be a really big agate.
Oh, wow.
It was probably, I haven't seen it in a long time now, I don't know what happened to it, but it had to have been at least 4 inches by 3 inches, kind of in a cubish shape. It was really large.
That's a good size, yep.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, like, I had heard that pretty, like, good-sized agates could actually hold some pretty decent value. I'm just wondering what you think something that size would be worth, and like how rare something like that.
Well, a lot. There are a lot of factors that attribute to you know, evaluating the agate's worth. Size is certainly one of them. Also, it would be, you know, the quality of the banding, whether or not it's in good natural shape. There's actually different schools of agate thought that some say you have to keep it natural, and others say it's fine to polish them. So you'd have to check out the kind of agate that you have and what the going ideas are right then and there about that particular kind of agate, because it varies from agate type to agate type. And but the size itself suggests that that could be a fairly valuable agate. They are all across the board. I mean, we're going to have agates there that, you know, kids will be able to pay for with pocket change. And then you're going to see some agates on display that are worth thousands and thousands of dollars. So, you know, it really is across the board, and you need to take it to an expert.
All right. So you're going to have to look it up,
look
Tom.
Look for it and come on down to the show.
Yeah. Bring it along with you. You could probably get somebody to give you a value on it. I wouldn't doubt.
Wouldn't doubt.
Wouldn't doubt. Thanks, Tom. Daniel in Rice Lake, your turn. Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
Hello.
I still can't say I've found a piece of native copper in the glacial till of northern Wisconsin, surprisingly. The copper culture was focused on northern Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula, where almost pure veins of copper were mined and then smithed by Indians into arrowheads, spear points, knives, etc.
That's right.
I read it was the only place in the world where native copper pure veins were found. Was that true?
Yes, it is. The UP and northern Wisconsin are the only place in the world that has that pure copper. It's truly a native copper. It's a pure element form. Most every place else that copper is known and mined is actually copper that's mixed in with other elements. So you have things like azurite and malachite, for instance, that are beautiful minerals. They're beautiful blue and red green minerals that you find down, like, say, Bisbee, Arizona. But they actually have to process those minerals to get the copper from them in very, very intensive ways. The copper from the UP and northern Wisconsin is absolutely 99% pure elemental copper, and it was really a big profitable area to mine because there was so little refining that was necessary.
Interesting. Yeah, thank you very much for calling, Dan. Appreciate it. John in Western Dane County is up next. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks
Hello.
For taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if there are any restrictions on collecting, such as national lakeshore, state parks, public lands of other kinds. Where is it possible to collect if you're interested in this?
Sure.
Sort of thing?
It's absolutely illegal to collect in state parks and national parks. You know, the old saying, take only pictures, leave only footprints. And I think that's true. And it's a good thing so that everybody has a chance to enjoy the parks in their entirety. However, collecting can be done in many, many different places. As I say, if you're interested in agates, a gravel pit is a really good place to go. And even roadside, you know, road cuts along country roads and stuff that go through gravel deposits you can collect in. Just ask, you know, property owners for permission if you're not on the right of way of a road, and be careful for traffic, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, for agates and other kinds of minerals and even sometimes fossils, you can do a lot of collecting in gravel pits. It's much safer kind of environment than, say, an operating stone quarry, you know, which can be quite deep and have lots of hazardous equipment around and stuff like that. Whereas gravel pits tend to be a little bit more user-friendly. But remember, always ask for permission and be conscious of a lot of the rules that are out there now because of the Mining Health and Safety Administration. So, but you can actually collect just in... like I say, along road cuts, and a lot of times farmers have old gravel pits on their property. You know, ask if you can take a look.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Terry and Abrams is up next. Hi, Terry.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have a rock that I found here on the property.
Okay.
It's about 9 inches, roughly a little over 9 inches long. It's about 6 pounds. It's shaped basically like an arrowhead.
Okay.
I had a geologist at the UW campus in Green Bay look at it a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And he says it's basalt.
Okay.
Because it's gray. It's got kind of a little rusty texture here and there. Uh-huh. You know, it's pebbly.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking it was a meteorite.
Okay.
But he's 99% sure. He says, I don't think so. Because the back of it, you know, it's pointed as if it was coming down into the earth.
Oh,
and
sure.
And the back of it is kind of melting away. Was the basalt formed through volcanic action, like, years and years ago?
Yep. Yep, basalt is actually the rock that started out as liquid lava coming out of a volcano. And there's lots and lots of basalt in Wisconsin, both in bedrock deposits, you know, actually part of the crust of the earth yet, and also as what we call erratics, which are the boulders and cobbles and stuff that were brought in with the glaciers from further north. So there is a lot of basalt that comes down. There are actually, do you have access to the internet?
My wife does, yes.
Okay. You might want to Google meteorite identification or something to that effect. And actually, there is a lot of information online, including pictures and things, photos, that will show you of the different clues to look for to determine whether or not a rock that you find is a meteorite. And there are some very distinctive features. I'm guessing that if the geologist at UWGB said he was 99% sure it was basalt, it almost definitely isn't a meteorite. There are some real specific things like the what they call ablation, which is sort of the way that as it streaks through the sky, through the atmosphere, it takes on these kind of ridges that develop because, you know, it's sort of semi-liquid as it's coming through. And also there are thumbprints and there are rinds that develop. And as I say, you go online and you look up meteorite identification and compare your rock to those photos. And I think that, you know, you will be able to identify it yourself.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Yep, thanks.
Keep
a lot.
Looking.
Thanks for calling, Terry. Appreciate it. Bob and Couderay, it's your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hi. How are you today?
Good.
Hi.
Great show. I've been collecting agates all since I'm about 10 or 11.
Oh, wow.
I started collecting them on what's now the Tuscobia Trail, snowmobile trail up here by Hayward.
Okay. Yeah.
Runs right through Couderay. And they used to bring gravel from over in gravel pits along the Mississippi
uh-huh.
on the railroad. And we used to, on rainy days when you couldn't work in the garden, you know, we'd go down there because it was wet, you didn't have to lick the rock so much.
Not something I advocate, okay?
But I use them now for, I make jewelry out of them.
Oh, cool.
Cut and polish them. About a month ago, a friend of mine found one in Namagoggin, and a lot of them, littler ones, will have kind of a rind. And you could see the lines on the part that was obvious it was an agate, but I said, I'm going to polish some of that rind off. And it had the most beautiful, like, drops of blood, eyeballs
mm-hmm.
in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a wedding gift for his wife.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool. Actually, you know that there are agates called eye agates, and
mm-hmm.
They have usually circular concentric bands within the rest of the agate. And at one time, they were used to ward off evil spirits, you know, the evil eye kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Thanks much for the program.
Yeah,
sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. You know, I've gotten a few people, several people actually, who phoned in and wondered about the address because we've been talking about the event, but I haven't been telling people how to get there.
We are at the University of Wisconsin Fox Valley at 1478, that's 1478 Midway Road in Menasha, Wisconsin. And it's very, very easy to get to. We are not too far from Highway 41. And we're really just about less than a mile off of the bypass, which is called 441. So it's 41 to 441, and you get off on Midway Road going east. And we're about three blocks past the only stoplight you're going to go through. Menasha has more than one stoplight, but it's the only one on Midway Road. And you'll see the campus on your left. Oh, well, I shouldn't say that. You'll see the campus. And we're undergoing construction on campus. They're building a communication arts center. But we're going to have lots and lots of people out showing you where the parking area is, where the entrance is and stuff. So we're going to take really good care of our guests to make sure that they have a great experience getting in construction. Or no.
And, too, you can go to wisemuseum.org. Wise is W-E-I-S.
That's right.
W-E-I-S. And find, I'm sure, everything you need to know there, too.
Yep. All you have to do is click on Agate Show 2008 in the upper right-hand corner once you get there, and it'll give you all kinds of information, maps and everything.
All right. Well, let's go to Brenda in Appleton next. Brenda, hello to you.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Brenda.
Hello. This is a wonderful show. I'm in my 50s, and I've been picking up rocks since I was a baby. And
me
it's
too.
Nice to know that people have been doing it like me. You know. Anyway, I live up in Appleton right now, and I can't wait for the show. But we have about 80 acres behind us that I walk my dogs on every day. And there's some old sand pits back there that don't work anymore, that nobody works anymore, but they've been, you know, they're like probably 100 years old or something.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if you could find agates like that in sandy areas, or does it have to be more of a rough, gravelly type of terrain? I find, you know, lots of interesting stuff, but I don't know if they're agates or not.
Sand pits would not be the best place to go, no.
Okay.
Once you have material that's been broken down into sand size, you're going to be losing most of the agates, you know. They're
okay.
going to have been abraded down, too. And by the way, I started out being a geologist by picking up rocks as a child. Whenever we went anywhere on vacation or anything, I used to bring rocks home because to me that was the best souvenir I could have.
Oh,
my mother didn't agree.
There's something about them. They're spiritual or something.
Right,
I don't know.
There you go.
I love them.
Good for you.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Brenda. Thanks for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. Let's go to Paul in Kenosha next. Hi, Paul.
Hi. You know, I hear the term driftless area used a lot on Wisconsin Public Radio. I wonder if you could explain that term. I know it's probably an elementary thing, but
I'd like
to hear you talk about that.
You know, there is no question that's not a smart question, because unless you ask them, you're not going to ever know, okay?
That's right.
So the driftless area refers in Wisconsin to the southwestern kind of corner of the state. And have you ever been out there at all?
I have.
Okay. I'm sure you've recognized that the landscape is pretty different looking than it is for most of the rest of Wisconsin. And the reason being is virtually all of Wisconsin, except for that area, has been modified by glaciers. Okay. Whether or not the glaciers eroded and planed off and scraped away and then dumped all kinds of sediments on top of the rest of Wisconsin, that area was avoided by the glaciers, or at least the last glacier, which left Wisconsin about 10,000 years ago. So one way or the other, that part of the area was not covered by what we call glacial drift, which is just another name for glacial sediments. And so it didn't have any glacial drift, so therefore it's the driftless area. So, I invite everybody to visit out there. You know, they say this is a good year for a staycation, where we don't go too far from home in Wisconsin. And that's a great place to go to see a different part of Wisconsin. You're almost like you're in a different universe. You know, I mean, it's just so different because there's all kinds of rock exposures, which, of course, as a geologist, I love. But every place else in the state, really, we've kind of covered all the bedrock exposures like that with these glacial sediments or the glacial drift. So we can't see them anymore. It's a good chance that much of Wisconsin actually looked like southwestern part of the state before the last ice age.
Mm-hmm.
Was there like a hole in the glaciation there?
Did it just not reach there? For some reason or other, it appears to have kind of avoided that area. It went around the area.
There's a little hole when they show the last glacier.
Yep.
There's a spot where there wasn't glaciation. Is there any explanation for it? Was it hot there? Or what was it? Why wouldn't the ice have formed there?
Well, there's all kinds of things that can happen, kind of flukes. If you look at Lake Michigan and Green Bay, and you can see how the Dora Peninsula sits up in the middle of that, you know, you say, well, why didn't the glacier just carve out all that area, right? I mean, why do we have that separation between Green Bay and the rest of Lake Michigan? Well, the rocks in Door County are very, very durable kinds of rocks. They're dolomite. They're hard. There's a big cliff of this dolomite, and it actually caused the glacier to split there and go on either side of it. So there's a good chance there was some little geologic feature that caused the glaciers to miss the southwestern corner of the state.
Yeah, interesting. Thanks, Paul, for calling. Larry in Star Prairie, it's your turn. Hi, Larry.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that the Indian Head Gem and Mineral Club has an annual show the last weekend of July at the Frederick High School. Lots of agate dealers, the best ones there are, and they'll also be at down at the Weiss show as well. But it's the last weekend of July at the Frederick High School. It's a great show.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. And that gives us an excuse to mention again the Wonderful World of Agates show, July 11th through the 13th, and give us that rundown again, would you, Joanne?
Sure. The Wonderful World of Agates, we're going to have more than 30 dealers from all over the world, more than 70 displays, again, from all over the world of agates that you'll probably never see on display again. A lot of these have come out of private collections, and they're doing it just for the show. And we even have the Smithsonian coming. There's also going to be speakers. There's going to be authors that you can talk to and buy books on agate collecting. There are going to be silent auctions, a separate one every day. And there's children activities for kids. The admission fee is $4 for above 12 years old. 12 and under are free. And we're taking over the entire UW-Fox Valley campus, and it's going to be a really cool event. We like to say an all-agate extravaganza, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. We're never doing this again, and as far as I know, nobody else is going to either, because it was a lot of work. 2 years worth.
2 years worth. July 11th through the 13th, it pretty much run all day then, or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it has different. I can tell you the hours really quick here. Friday, July 11th, it runs from 10 till 7 p.m. On Saturday, July 12th, from 10 till 5. And on Sunday, July 13th, from 11 till 4.
Joanne, a big pleasure. And by the way, again, go to the website, wisemuseum.org, for information on how to get there. It's weismuseum.org.
Correct.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Joanne.
Thank you. Remember, geology rocks.
Geology rocks. All right. Oh, no, she has no enthusiasm, does she? Not enthusiastic at all. Oh, my goodness. No, she's a wonderful, enthusiastic ambassador. Joanne Klusendorf, director of the Wise Earth Science Museum at the UW-Fox Valley in Menasha. It's 1470 Midway Road. And I tell you what, this is going to be a lot of fun. And for $4... Where else can you go for $4 and have an all day fun?
Just one tank of gas between Madison and there and back.
Right, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know if geology relates to the climate and weather or not, but I'll ask our weather guys coming up next. They've got some weather and climate information to spread here. Coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.